Hey, it's Vic Nizar. Have your say and join me on The People's Show with big takes and even bigger bets. Weekdays 3 to 4 on Sportsnet 650 or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, what's up? We are back here.
That was so subdued.
So loud in my headphones all of a sudden. Oh, my goodness. I accidentally turned the volume of my headphones way too loud, and I started talking, and it was deafening in my ears. I got a little concerned for myself. We're back at – it's Canucks Talk. I'm Jamie Dye. That's Thomas Drance. We are
– what's up?
We're back at I was shook for a second there. The reason I was shook is that we're back at Rogers Arena on a Canucks game day for the first time this year. Kind of. It's a preseason game, but we're still here. We're taking in morning skate, so I was just getting reaccustomed to the gear here at Rogers Arena. Canucks Talk is brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Be a champion on the worksite. Find them together online at DLEAMC.com. We're live from the Mobile Kintec studio here at Rogers Arena. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? 650. 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. What's going on, Drance?
Oh, not much, buddy. Preseason debut for the Vancouver Canucks tonight. Lots of games coming up this week. It's going to be interesting to see which guys get a shot, how exactly the club structures all of this. And what actually matters, right? Like, what actually matters tonight? What are the actual stakes? Will be fascinating to digest. We of course, won't know until we sort of get to next week and until we get to final cuts. But certainly some intrigue with the lineup the Canucks are putting out tonight, which we'll get into.
Yeah, we sure will. And I will say, I'm excited for the game, but you know what I'm most excited for?
Is it Landon Ferraro?
Well, that. We're going to have Landon Ferraro on the show coming up at 12:30, which is very, very exciting. Expect him to be a bigger part of Canucks Talk this year, which is exciting going forward. But what I'm most excited is, for the first time this year, I get to throw to some Rick Tocchet audio on a game day. One of my truly favorite things to do in this show. So I'm very excited about that. But before we do that, let's get into the whiteboard.
All right now, fellas. Hey, let's focus up, huh?
It is the whiteboard, your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks for today, September 24th. And the headline, as I said, of course, first preseason game. They host the Seattle Kraken tonight at Rogers Arena. We'll get into the lineup machinations, what's kind of on the line for different players in a second. But kind of big picture, you know, the preseason is always so funny because there's so much hype to get back to hockey. And then you kind of watch the first 10 minutes of the first period and it's like, yeah, this is preseason hockey.
Oh, see, I love preseason hockey because it tends to be unstructured.
You say that, but then, like, how long before you're like, okay, I need the regular season?
Yeah, I will say 5 and 7, okay?
Yeah.
You know, by the time they're doing a back-to-back set this weekend, I'm sure I'll be like, eh, all good. Yep. I'm good now. But
I've got my fill.
But I like, one thing I will say is I do find disparate levels of experience and competition to be quite fascinating, right? So when you've got a junior player or a player who's only played a small handful, 8 games of North American professional hockey, like an Elias Pettersson, an Elias Pettersson playing tonight against, you know, this Seattle Kraken preseason side, I always think that's fascinating. Like, it's going to be really interesting to see how he holds up. It's going to be really interesting to see how Vilmar Ulriksson, right, a guy who wasn't super prolific in Major Junior last year, but has obviously had a very strong last 10 days with the club across both the Young Stars tournament and training camp, how he sort of performs, how he looks out on a sheet with some real NHL players. You know, there's always a lot of I almost find that there's more information to glean when it's not 23 NHLers against 23 NHLers, but when, in fact, the experience gaps are prominent or are visible, evident, if you're watching closely. So, you know, I strongly suggest everyone do that, in part because it'll also give you more appreciation for, you know, ex-dusty veteran player that by mid-February you'll probably be criticizing their usage, where they're at in the lineup, just because, you know, in some ways that sort of snapshot will capture for you just how impressive those guys really are.
The gap between their careers and where, you know, some of the younger players are trying to get mm-hmm. to and the work they still have to do
and it's not just a gap, it's a chasm, yeah. man. Like, it's a chasm.
Now, I will say, in terms of just big picture preseason, I think we probably all remember the 10-0 loss in Calgary to start last preseason and kind of the mini cycle of panic that kicked off. And then, of course, it had no bearing whatsoever on the start of the Canucks season and obviously how their season went. In fact, it was the exact opposite of meaningful for how the Canucks season would go. So that will probably always stick in my mind as, like, the ultimate preseason means nothing.
Yes.
Example, right? They lost 10-0. It was a disaster. And then they had one of the most impressive seasons in franchise history directly after that. So just keep that in mind. I'll also say, and look, there's plenty to get into. And we'll go into the lineup notes pretty quickly here and get into, you know, who's playing, who's featuring. There is a dynamic, and I think ultimately this is a good thing, where I think the better a team is, the less interesting preseason becomes, right? Because when you're a not very good team, maybe you're young, you're rebuilding, right? Like, if you're the Sharks and you're a Sharks fan, you're like, hey, we got to watch Macklin Celebrini play. We get instant information of him at the NHL level at the first time. Will Smith is there playing. That's really exciting, right?
Yeah, when it's fresh.
It's fresh. It's new. Yeah, okay, whatever. But when you're expected to go to the playoffs, when
are
you're
they wearing
expected
the black jerseys? Will Will Smith be one of the men in black?
Will he get in a fight? An inappropriate fight in the preseason.
Oh, wow.
What? Famous Will Smith moments.
5 minutes for slapping?
Yeah.
Famous Will Smith
moment. It was. It's the, like, legendary Will Smith moment. Legendary Oscar moment.
Oh, man. Free Will Smith.
Sure.
He deserves his Independence Day.
Yeah, okay. Enough. But when you're a team that's expected to be top three in your division, you also understand, like, well, okay, there's some things that people are fighting for, but you know you're not going to learn that much about the kind of the upper echelons of your roster the way you might if you're watching a younger, more inexperienced team with a lot more, like, rookies, guys trying to break in.
Yeah, you know, and that's fair. I do think there's some intrigue, though, with how the Canucks have built this lineup. Like, you know, first off, Lekker Mäki is going to play. And mm-hmm. I remain, you know, I'm going into the preseason. I'm not locking it in or anything, but I'm saying I do believe that there is a path for Lekker Mäki to break camp with this Canucks team based on how strong his performance was at training camp in particular. Like, he has put himself in position. I'm not going to say inside track, but he's certainly on the track, mm-hmm. right? He's on the track. He's got a shot at winning this race. And, you know, it won't be easy, right? Competition's going to be stiff. There's a possibility, too, that the window that's opened for him is, you know, directly causal or related to Dakota Joshua's anticipated absence. But Lekker Mäki playing tonight, if he can have a strong performance, and for me, more so than the goal was goals or assists or points tonight, it's about what he looks like off the rush, right? It's about how well he plays away from the puck. There's sort of other things to get into, but we can save that for the lineup notes.
Yeah, and just one quick headline here is that newest member of the Vancouver Canucks, goaltender Kevin Lankinen, is on the ice. So the group that's going to play at Rogers Arena today, they've already finished their morning skate. They're off the ice. The other group that's not playing are going through their paces right now in front of us. Three goalies on the ice, one of whom is the newest member of the Canucks, Kevin Lankinen. So getting a chance to skate with the team and start just getting familiar with his surroundings. I understand he already has a relationship with the goalie coach, Marco Terenius.
Yeah, they've spent some summers working out. So even though if you go look at both of their, you know, Hockey DB
it
pages,
doesn't cross over.
It's not a clear link. They've spent some off seasons working out. They're both natives of Helsinki, Finland.
So there's a relationship there at least to renew, and maybe that'll help him hit the ground running here. As again, Kevin Lankinen is on the ice with the Canucks right now at Rogers Arena. All right, we'll skip over the broadsheet for today here in the whiteboard. But to the lineup notes, and per our guy, Brendan Batchelor, from Morning Skate, here's how the Canucks are going to line up against the Kraken in preseason action tonight. Top line, Brock Besser with Pew Suter and Jonathan Lekker Mäki. So he, you know, goes from the group with Pedersen and DeBrusk. And
you're going soft Y?
Isn't that it?
Jonathan?
Isn't that it? I don't know.
Alvin
Whatever.
Calls him Jonathan.
Okay, there you go. That's what I'll
say. For what it's worth.
And it's Lekker Mäki.
Lekker Mäki.
Right. Four syllables instead of five.
Lekker-Mackey.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, so.
I'm going to mess that one up.
Besser, Suter, Lekker-Mackey. So Lekker-Mackey has been advertised already to play in the game in Abbotsford tomorrow. So it looks like they're going to give him tons of opportunities, as you would expect. Of course, he was skating in training camp with Elias Pettersson and Jake DeBrus, so gets new line mates here, but still, you know, obviously skating with Brock Besser, Pugh Suter. He gets to go to the quote-unquote top line
two,
in this one
two
as
guys
well.
That were on the Canucks top line when we last saw them play, right? Like in the playoffs last year, Besser, Suter, Miller was their top line. So he's playing with two guys who played top line minutes for the Canucks in the postseason.
In the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a big opportunity
opportunity
for Lekker-Mackey, and he was featured on the first power play unit they showed at the morning skate as well.
Although on the flank.
Yeah.
Right? So just small detail, but important to note, if you're playing on the flank, you're not really sort of in consideration to join PP1. Right? The flanks are pretty much set with Miller and Pettersson.
You would think so.
Yeah.
But, hey, it's still a power play opportunity.
For sure.
Right? Still a chance for him to show some of his skill tonight. The trio of Atu Ratu, Nils Höglander, and Connor Garland stays together. We saw them a bunch in Penticton. Danton Heinen skating with Nils Amon and Linus Karlsson. And then it's Ulrichsson, Max Sasson, and Sammy Blay, the PTO veteran, on the fourth line. Takeaways from the rest of the forward groupings there for you.
So I think one of the more interesting ones is we know that this Canucks team, like we know how hard it's going to be to crack the Canucks roster, right? With, especially up front. You know, I mean, especially everywhere, but like especially up front with all the depth that the Canucks were able to add this offseason plus Lekker-Mackey, right? I mean, that's five new bodies on the wing, even with Mikheyev departing and Lindholm departing. Opportunity is scant. And yet, you know, one thing this team surely will weight heavily in sort of fleshing out the back end of their 23-man in a couple weeks' time when they're sitting in Rogers Arena boardrooms with the hockey operations staff is center depth, right? I mean, that's sort of the on-paper weakness of this forward group is – I mean, bottom six center depth in particular, but then beyond that, right? Amon, Ratu, and Max Sasson are all in the lineup tonight. Like, I do suspect that that tells you something in terms of Tocchet wanting to have information right away, right off the hop, about which centermen are options for him if he needs them, right? We've yet to see Teddy Bluger. I mean, Teddy Bluger is right now with the group. That's skating, sort of following the morning skate group. Nothing off about his jersey, no non-contact designation or anything, right? Like, he's a totally normal participant at this practice today. So, obviously close, but just a reminder, even with him absent for a day or two, basically, since the Canucks opened camp, you know, you're one injury away from needing a Ratu, an Amon, a Sasson. And is Amon's grip on that position so strong that a guy like Ratu can't crash the party? Is it meaningful at all that they're leaving Ratu with Höglander and Garland? Like, every other line that we're looking at here is a mismatch, like sort of is mixed and matched from what we saw at training camp, with one exception. Höglander, Ratu, Garland are sort of still together to get a look in exhibition play after a really strong camp and a dominant performance from the three of them at the scrimmage. Is that meaningful, right? Is that meaningful, and is Tocchet taking a look at his center depth options here? I would strongly suggest, like, the language of these decisions tells me that there's at least some trepidation about his center options overall, and that he wants to know right away what he's got.
Yeah, the Ratu with Höglander and Garland is interesting. And, you know, we touched on him briefly yesterday with Batch, but Nils Höglander and the praise he got from Rick Tocchet for, you know, kind of acing the fitness testing, obviously being a part of that trio with Connor Garland. And now you see, you know, in this first situation, he's playing again with Ratu and Garland in what looks like the second line. And it does feel like, look, it's not as it's Nils Höglander is going to be on the NHL roster, right? We all understand that with his experience, with his skill, with his contract, everything. He's going to be on the NHL roster. But it does feel like there's still a chance for him to kind of cross a threshold in how he's viewed by the coaching staff, to go from, you know, a guy who really had to scrap and claw for minutes over the course of last season and produce a lot to get increased minutes, who was scratched in the playoffs, struggled in the playoffs, to go from that tier of player where it's clear-cut NHL guy, but your role is a little bit in question, to, okay, this is a guy we got to figure out how to get into the top nine, right? Like, that feels like the next development for Nils Höglander, and it's not the same stakes as, you know, a guy like Sammy Blais who's fighting to make the NHL, a guy like Atu Ratu who's fighting maybe to have a chance at that 13 forward spot. But I think for Höglander and for this team, I mean, that's a really that's something I'm really interested to monitor is, has he taken that next step just internally with how Rick Tocchet and the rest of the coaching staff and the organization view his utility and view his role on this team?
Yeah, and look, I mean, Höglander's a really interesting, I think, character in this Canucks season. I mean, when you really think about scoring 50 goals in your first 221 mm-hmm. NHL games, right? Like, that's a 19-goal pace mm-hmm. over 82. Okay, but 19 goals might not sound like a star performer. Now consider that these seasons happened at the ages of 20, 21, 22, 23. All right, he's still 23. He won't turn 24, you know, until midway through the season. Like, I think pretty late into the season, December 20th, right? So this is a very young player. And even there, in some ways, like, the context that you have to put into his goal production.
Minutes, power play opportunity, all of that, right?
For sure. But the main one is Boudreaux didn't have use for him. Right, he literally, like, 100 of those 220 games were spent with a coach that absolutely had no time for him. Right, it's not like, and I kept making this point to, you know, people like Dhaliwal across the early part of last season, which was that it's not like Höglander has failed multiple times. He failed to ingratiate himself with one coach. Right, that's different. That's like a different. There's all sorts of guys who don't mesh with one coach. Right, it doesn't necessarily tell us anything about the player. Are we in some ways underrating Höglander's potential to break out, right? Because, and look, there's a temptation to look at a guy who shot 20% last season and see only the regression risk, the idea of him, of selling him high. I think there's also a penchant among Canucks fans and Canucks commentators, right? Us in the media, our colleagues at 650, to look at this roster and be like, where does Höglander fit? Mm-hmm. And what's sort of interesting is I dug into it over the course of this summer, right? And really tried to understand where the organization's overall perch. Like, Höglander was an absolute no-fly zone for this team as a trade asset at the deadline last year. Like, just absolute. They know what they have, right? They know what they have. I think there's a lot of internal confidence in what this player can be. And you know, you think about him being 20 days older, for example, than a player like Arshdeep Baines. Mm-hmm. And we sort of enter the season and people are like, well, could Baines level up and be a player on the fourth line? Well, just think about it this way. If Höglander were to improve the same amount at the same age, what could he be? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, because he's been around for 4 years, we don't think of him as being the age that he is or being as young as some of these sort of guys who still have prospect sheen.
So he's the Sam Darnold of the NHL, is what you're saying?
Well, no. You know what? Maybe the Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence only 24.
Wow, that's a spicy day to throw that comparison.
But he's
around.
Only 24, right? Like, it's like he's 10 months older than Jaden Daniels, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, so point being, I think there's some, like, I think we're almost so familiar. Höglander's almost become like the furniture.
Yeah.
That we don't sort of consider him as a player that has this, like, breakout potential or this ability to level up. And, you know, it says here that he kind of does, and especially in terms of his two-way play, especially if those minutes spike.
That's the key for me is does Rick Tocchet now look at him as, okay, not just a guy that you put on the fourth line and is going to have some energy, can pot a goal for you, but a guy you can put in big spots, right? Mm. You know, this is a guy I'm going to lean on versus a guy that you like to have on the fourth line. And, you know, I think your point about just how he's viewed, how many – you know, back of the envelope line combinations have you seen that have end up with Höglander on the fourth line, right?
And it's tons.
And now it almost always comes with the context of, like, wow, you have Höglander and Sherwood on the fourth line. That's awesome. That's really good. Those guys are overqualified. But, and I completely understand, I've done it too. But then you think, like, well, there's a spot open next to Pettersson and DeBrus. There's a spot open with Miller and Besser. There are legitimate spots open, you know, for as long as Dakota Joshua's out. He's in the spot he's in right now. There are legitimate spots open in the top nine, and if he has started to kind of change the mind of the coaching staff and they look at him differently, I think Nils Höglander has a really, really good chance to end up taking some of those minutes and play a pretty significant role on this team, and he gets to start doing that tonight in this preseason game against the Seattle Kraken. Defense pairs quickly, which we didn't really talk about. Defenseman Elias Pettersson skating with Philip Roenick. So that carries over from Penticton. Christian Willanen and Tyler Myers, Derek Forbort, and Mark Friedman. I'm a little surprised. Did we see it at all in Penticton, Forbort, and Myers? You'd think that would maybe be something to look at some point. But
we didn't. But you know what? They're so familiar. Like, not with each other, but with NHL reps. And sort of, I think the more important thing is to understand the structure and what's expected of defensemen. Mm-hmm. What I will say, I'm really curious to know if the Canucks view a Desharnais-Soucy pair as, like, a better way of approaching hard minutes as opposed to Soucy Myers, and maybe freeing Myers up by playing him as, you know, quote unquote, on a third pair against softer comp, mm-hmm. so that he can maybe focus a little bit more on bringing some of what this team lost in Zadorov, which is that secondary puck moving ability. You know, when it comes to surfing the blue line, when it comes to sort of those quick counterattacks off of the offensive blue line turnovers that this Canucks team is built to manufacture with their back pressure from the wings, with their neutral zone wedge on and on. I think there's some sense in maybe hoping that Myers can bring you a little bit more offense. And if he's freed up from the matchup sort of minutes that the club tasked him with playing in the postseason on a pair with Soucy last year, does that enable it? I'm really curious to see if that's something that we'll see more of as we go. I guess the last note would be, you know, when you're, like Forbort, we know is going to start the season on the left side, mm-hmm. right? What I'm curious about, especially coming out of camp, is the Canucks do have some upside options on the left side, and more so than on the right side. Now, maybe I'd feel a little bit differently if Cole McWard, had been part of the main groups. Maybe I'd feel a little bit differently if Tom Volander wasn't going back to college, right? And those guys could be options later in the year. But between Pettersson and Kudryavtsev sort of looking, you know, perhaps a little more NHL-ready than we would have anticipated in his sort of the start of his first pro year, do the Canucks have options to, like, internal options to improve on the left side, or maybe add someone who's a little higher upside than a Derek Forbort as the season goes along, right?
Like, like internally by promoting one of those guys?
That's what
I mean, potentially?
Yeah, like the idea that when you build a running back room in fantasy football, you want, like, the dusty old vet to start the year, but yep. You've got some rookies that you're hoping hit down the line. Canucks left side almost looks like that to me.
That's interesting. And look, Pettersson's skating with Philip Roenick tonight, right? So that's the start of his opportunity to really show that could mm-hmm. be a meaningful thing. And I guess the other thing it does is, yeah, as you said, maybe it's by promoting one of those guys. Can you engineer a trade if that depth really starts to show out later in the year? But I think, man, I think there's a long way to go before, you know, you take a player with the experience of Derek Forbort, what he does on the penalty kill. You have to be really, really certain there's some untapped upside in the young player you're bringing in to think that you're going to get a meaningful upgrade over Derek Forbort at any point this year. I'd be surprised if that happens, but hey, you never know. Maybe they can really take that serious step forward. Archer, Shelovs, and Ty Young are the goalies tonight. Shelovs will get the start, but of course, as typically in preseason action, you'd expect Young to get in there and get some action as well. So those are your lineup notes for what to watch for tonight. No JT Miller, no Elias Pettersson, no Quinn Hughes. I know Pettersson and Hughes have both been advertised for Abbotsford tomorrow. So is Jake DeBrusk. Lekkomäki looks like he's going to play both games. But Besser, Lekkomäki, Philip Roenick, some of the key players featuring in tonight's game. Betting notes. Yeah, we got betting notes on preseason action here, Drancer. Of course we do. And it's the Canucks at play now, favored -139 on the money line. So not overwhelming favorites, because it is preseason hockey. You don't want to go too crazy. I haven't seen any information about what type of lineup the Kraken are sending.
Yeah.
But this doesn't quite feel like the typical overwhelming NHL lineup that you often see a home team dress.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not quite as tilted towards the vets as sometimes.
And I want to apologize in advance to the fine folks at Play Now and their partnership of us. But if you have the temptation to bet on preseason hockey, call the number.
As if you don't bet on preseason football.
Absolutely not.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that is stunning to me. I would have bet a lot of money on that.
Oh, really?
You love to gamble.
Yeah, but I like player props. If they did, trust me, if I could bet on, like, you know, random third running back out of Clemson to hit his overs, that would be one thing. But I feel like player props in the preseason. No, I don't bet on preseason. I'm not a Who do you think I am?
Funny. I don't know, man. I don't think that was unreasonable of me at all.
I absolutely think so.
On NFL preseason action. No total on the board, by the way. So
yeah,
I don't know.
And if you definitely hit a preseason total, if you hit a preseason under, call the number.
I was going to say, no, that's probably the smart play because everyone's like, oh, it's preseason. It'll be crazy. And then the under hits.
Call the number.
All right. On that note, by the way, our preseason coverage here on Sportsnet 650 brought to you by Tiletown as BC's favorite hockey team kicks off a new season. Receive 20% off any regular priced in-stock tile. Visit mytiletown.ca for details. We'll take a break. Landon Ferraro, former NHL player, joins us next here on Canucks Talk Sportsnet 650.
Miss any part of Halford and Brough in the morning? Subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcast and don't miss an episode.